Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio, and I'm sure you noticed that we're a half hour early, and there's a reason for it.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that's right. Unfortunately, Dan was called out of town on work, but luckily, Schomburg Stu was nice enough to stop by and fill in. How you doing, Stu?
I'm doing all right. Fortunately for the listening audience, I don't have to work today.
Yeah, me or you, neither of us had to work today. Look at that.
That's
so,
right.
But hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but, you know, just go on over there and, you know, check out what's going on a daily basis. You never know what might happen. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but I am out there at Burke Time, and feel free to send me any questions, comments, or anything else you'd like for Stu, and I will gladly forward them along. So, all right, we're off and running, and I have, to me, this was kind of an odd situation, and I'm wondering if maybe you have a different take or, you know, another approach to this, but, over the weekend, or pretty much the end of last week, CBS re-signed Tony Romo to a long-term deal to stick around as their NFL announcer. Now, they were in a battle with the Mickey Mouse Network for Romo's services. The Mickey Mouse Network wanted him for Monday Night Football. Of course, he did CBS last year. He's very good. I've heard him call some games. He's very good. I mean, I wouldn't go out of a way to turn a game on if he was announcing it. But, you know, if he's the announcer, I don't have a problem with it. Now, for some reason, and this is what I don't understand, apparently the fact that he's getting $17 million a year has ticked off some current players, especially Michael Thomas of the Saints, who came out and said that Romo getting this kind of money is the reason the players shouldn't agree to the new CBA, which has been sent around by their union for a vote. Now, this is where I get lost, because I was really under the impression that the NFL was paying Tony Romo, or no, that CBS was paying Tony Romo, I mean, not the NFL. So I don't get why players are so hacked off about this. Do you have an insight or an angle that maybe I'm missing here that could help me out?
Are the players jealous because he's getting paid such a large amount of money not to get hit on the football field?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that's where I was kind of lost, but I don't understand how that's his fault. I mean, you know, he's in a non-union free market system. You know, if the players want to be in a situation like this, get rid of your union, and you can be in a situation where the free market bidding is open, and they can pay you anything, you know, absolutely anything they would like to pay you. But, you know, unfortunately, you're in a union that represents you and negotiates your deals, and they've negotiated a salary cap with the league you play in, so you have to live by these rules. So I don't understand how this is Tony Romo's fault.
It's not his fault at all. And I'm wondering, though, you mentioned the one player that voiced his complaint about this. Have there been other players also who didn't like the fact that he's getting paid $17 mil a year.
Yeah, you know, the story I heard said players with an F, but the only name I've seen attached to it is Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints. So I don't know if they're trying to attach this to more than one guy, or, you know, if they're, you know, if they're talking, you know, talking about it. But, you know, they keep talking about, like, one of the headline articles I saw from it was Forbes said, you know, Tony Romo's record-setting deal shows just how bad NFL players have it. You know, I've seen the salaries, and I think there would be a lot of people who would like to have it that bad. I really do.
For sure, and really, it seems that the players really shouldn't make a determination that he's getting paid so much a matter of concern for them. It's, as you said, free enterprise, and if the CBS network is willing to pay him $17 million a year, well, more power to Tony Romo.
Right. Well, you know, and then, you know, if Michael has Thomas has a problem with this, quit and become an announcer.
And it's easier said than done to be a good announcer in covering NFL games. We've seen how many players or former players have tried it and have failed and haven't done the job. So it's not all that easy to do. Well, of course, that being said, is it worth $17 million a year? I would say no. I'll do it for half of that.
Yeah, I would do it for, you know, $1 million a year if they asked me to. So, you know, just that simple. But I was just so confused because I didn't really see any interaction between the players' current CBA negotiations and Romo's contract. You know, I mean, he's out of the game. He's been out of the game for a couple years now. They approached him about becoming an announcer. You know, I don't know how much, you know, he, you know, was even interested. I mean, I think a lot of people thought he was going to try to get on the pro golf tour, you know, because he's a scratch golfer. But, you know, I'm just kind of baffled by the, you know, so, you know, you would think you'd want to see a former player do well. You know, and the funny thing is the most Romo ever made in his playing career was $9 million a season. So he's doing better as an announcer.
If there are complaints, I would think it's because of the fact that he's getting paid so much and not taking the bumps in the field anymore. And I think the players have a lot more to be worried about than that. Right now with so many of the top players considering not signing a new agreement. So brace yourself. There could be a strike coming.
Yeah, well, they, you know, they can't go on strike till after next season. They're contracted to play next year. Yeah, the humorous thing, what I'm noticing about this contract, and I haven't read it, I haven't seen it. Normally that's Dan's thing here on Sports Time Radio. He goes through all those CBAs literally line by line, where I would throw myself off my balcony if I had to do that. But what I've noticed is it seems to be the star players at the top of the money pyramid that don't like this deal. Now, Nate Solder came out today. He's a tackle for the New York Giants, and he's a pretty well-paid tackle. He's the first player with any kind of, we'll say, name value that has said that the NFL needs to agree to this deal. The players need to agree to it because it's a very good deal. And the term he used was for their core players that obviously make up the majority of the NFL. Now, you know, the stars have came out. I haven't heard the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, either of the Pouncey brothers. None of those guys have even mentioned the core players when it comes to this new agreement. So I kind of got a feeling that those guys are just looking out for themselves and the deal isn't good for them, so they don't want it. But, you know, like I said, Solder was the first guy to come out and say, hey, this is a good deal for the core guys, and we need to agree to it. So I'm going to be interested to see how this works out.
Yeah, I suspect that eventually the players will agree to the new the new deal. Of course, the sticking point, the main sticking point is going to be whether or not they agree to a 17-game season as compared to a 16-game season.
Yeah, and you know it's odd because I'm very surprised that they made that big of a deal out of it. You know, they're getting rid of a preseason game, so it's literally the same number of games. It's just, you know, instead of one preseason game, it's just a regular season game. By opening up the playoffs the way they did, there'll be a little bigger payoff pool for the players as well. You know, I know they're getting a little bigger chunk of the merchandising rights and stuff like that. So that'll be, you know, more money in their coffers. You know, so yeah, I was a little surprised to see them make such a huge, you know, like two games. Because originally, remember, a couple years ago, they wanted to go to 18.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I don't get the negativity here for one more game.
No, I think eventually it's going to be worked out, and they'll start the 17-game season with a revised playoff format, and that can only help the players and some of the fringe players make more money in the long run. So I'm not sure what the big deal is. Yeah, besides, of course, they're eliminating one exhibition game, so isn't that big of a deal to add one to the regular season schedule?
Yeah, and you know, and I understand when they say, you know, a regular season game isn't the same as a preseason game, because let's face it, in the preseason, none of the starters really even try. They're just going through the motions. Where, you know, in a regular season, they're actually going to have to prepare and get ready, you know, with all that kind of stuff. But I still don't see it being that big a deal. But again, you know, when you look at the guys who are complaining the most about it, it's these guys who don't need another game checked. You know, the Russell Wilsons, the Aaron Rodgers, you know, the guys at the top of the pay scale. You know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need one more check for, you know, $2 million or whatever he's making next season. You know, Drew Brees doesn't need that. You know, but that core guy who's hanging on making the NFL minimum, that extra check is probably a pretty big deal for him.
I would think so, yeah.
So
now,
you know, they can't see through their rose-colored glasses.
Now, let me ask you this question. Let's assume that a player has a five-year deal, a five-year contract, and one of the top players. That's in between the old and new agreement. Would the new agreement, if that's signed, would that affect his contract at all?
No, apparently the way it's going to be set up is, you know, whatever your average game check salary is for 16 games, you'll just get one more game check at that price. You know, so basically to make it easy, say you have a $16 million contract, so you get $1 million per game. Basically, what it would become is your contract would go up $1 million. You'd get $1 million for that 17th game. So it's just prorated.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And I guess the only – I wonder if some of the players are just worried about the extra game, an actual NFL game and not an exhibition game, would impact the possibility of him getting a serious injury. Because let's face it, that's the name of the game. I mean, we know that – For the majority of the players in the NFL, their career is very short, so it behooves them to make as much as they can, because you never know when your career is over.
Right. Well, you know, and that's, you know, kind of another way to look at it then is, you know, for these core guys, as Nate Solder described them, that extra game check would be really vital to them.
Yeah, you would think so.
You know, because I'm looking at it here. It looks like the highest paid player coming into next year, and obviously free agency is right around the corner, so this could change. That's Jared Goff at $36 million for the season. So, you know, I could understand if he's saying, oh, yeah, God, I don't need to, you know, bring in a, you know, an extra whatever million that would be. I, you know, 1 year of playing should set Jared Goff for life. and he should never have to worry about anything in his life again. All right, but then when you get down here, I get down to the bottom of the list, and oddly enough, it's another Ram down here. Justin Lawler is listed as the lowest paid player, 1,000 out of the NFL guys. He is player number 1,000. Justin Lawler makes $678,433 a season. Do you think he could use one more game check? Do you think one more game check would help Justin out there?
Yeah, another 40 grand wouldn't be bad, right? They're 45 grand, wherever they would come out to, and I'm certain he would find that they would come in quite handy. And maybe just that it seems unfair for the top tier of players to be reluctant about making this deal, because it would only help the average player in the league and the fringe players in the league secure another nice paycheck, which, as I pointed out before, you don't know how short their careers are going to be.
Right. You know, that's the kind of the odd thing about it is, here you're looking at a guy who's, probably struggling to make the roster. Would it hurt for him to pick up that 17th check, in case he doesn't make the team the next year? And maybe he has to go to, he has to go to the Canadian Football League, or now the XFL, where, he won't make anywhere close to as much money. So that extra game check could be a big deal to some of these guys.
It would be. And so my gut feeling is that when the time comes and when they two sides get together, that they'll negotiate a deal, which will include a 17th game. And I think they'll come to terms without there being a strike.
Well, the odd thing, of course, here is the core group of guys overwhelm the superstars in the NFL. So if the core group of guys vote to approve this contract, all we're going to do is hear a lot of bitching from the superstars, but there's nothing they can do about it.
No.
Because they'll lose the vote.
Yeah, we know it's a violent game. I mean, look what happened over the weekend in the XFL when one of their top quarterbacks not only played a poor game, but he got a serious injury at the same time. So you got to watch out for the players. You got to look out for their long-term future. And another paycheck for a core player would come in very handy.
Yeah, it's just, again, like I said, it's one of those odd things when you kind of listen to it. And I get it. It's a violent game and it's a physical game, but they've done things to make it safer, safer to the best of their ability. Injuries are going to happen no matter if it's in a 17th game or a 16th game or a preseason. Quarterback got hurt yesterday. The quarterback sneak. That doesn't happen all that often.
No, very seldom. You almost never see a quarterback getting hurt in that kind of a play, and it's almost impossible to stop him from making one or 2 feet that he needs for a first down. But so that is an unusual situation.
And he did get the first down. He just got got pushed back.
That's all that counts. Then.
Pulled up.
That's all that counts, right?
Yeah, pushed back.
He made the first
down. And that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And, as you say, it's a violent game, and they have taken a lot of steps. I mean, it's so much safer now than it was, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Can you imagine the Bears defensive team, how many penalties they would get now during the course of a game, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't be 15-1, I could guarantee you that. They would have lost multiple games just with the penalties they would have acquired.
Yeah. So, I have to say, I give the lead credit. They have done whatever they can do to minimize the amount of injuries, but we know that you're not going to stop all the injuries. You can't in a sport like football.
No. So, but, you did mention the Bears here locally, and You know, everybody keeps talking about that. It appears that the Bears are in the market for a veteran quarterback. You know, some people think it's to push Mitchell Trubisky. I don't believe that after I heard the two names they were interested in. You know, because when you look on the free agent market, you know, there's obviously the Drew Breeses, the Tom Brady's, the Phillip Rivers, but, you know, there's Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Apparently, the Bears' top quarterback target in free agency this season is going to be Case Keenum. If they can't sign Keenum, they're going to talk to the Bengals about a trade for Andy Dalton. So there you go, Bears fans. You're going to get Mitchell Trubisky backed up by either Case Keenum or Andy Dalton. So I hope you're excited about next year.
Well, the first thing that came to mind when I saw that was, tell me what kind of a great career that Andy Dalton has had for Cincinnati.
Well, you know, he did get them into the playoffs a few times, but, you know, there hasn't been anything, you know, I'm trying to think, the best way to describe him would probably be a game manager, you know, and I mean, depending on how far you go back with the Bears, think Steve Fuller, Mike Tomczak type of quarterbacks that just try to go in and not make mistakes. But when he makes mistakes, obviously, you know, they're in trouble. He does have a winning record as a starter. He's 70-61-2. You know, and I mean, of course, he hasn't had a winning season since 2015, but that has a lot to do with the fact that he was playing for the Bengals, who are notoriously one of the worst franchises in the NFL because
that's true.
They don't like this money and they're always at the bottom of the salary cap. So, you know, I could see him being a serviceable backup, but I don't want him playing unless you desperately had to.
Well, at this stage of the game, it almost would be better than seeing Trubisky. Although, as you pointed out, he may be an adequate game manager, but he's certainly not going to set the league afire anymore, at least.
Right. You know, and then, you know, Keenum made hay there that year he played with Minnesota. And he went out and had a fantastic year. You know, he got a big money contract to go to Denver to play, and he wasn't as good. I don't know if they ended up releasing him or if they let him know. He did play out the year. He played all 16 games there. You know, did they trade him to Washington or did they just cut him? Let me see if I can get the transactions here real quick. Yeah, no, they shipped him off to Washington. Because Washington wanted him to mentor their young quarterback. I know he got banged up a little. He started 8 games, played in 10, but he wasn't very good in Washington. So, you know, he's out on the free agent market. And, again, you know, he's another guy. If he's my backup, I'm okay. You know, kind of like Chase Daniels, he was the backup, that's okay. I don't want to see him play. You know, but when they get in games and you need them to start, that's where things kind of run into a problem.
Yeah, another game manager. And do you think that Trubisky at this stage is going to be picked up for his option year? I have my doubts.
Well, you know, it'll be a make or break year this year. If he goes out and he has a year like he had 2 years ago, they'll pick it up because it'll be cheaper to pick up his fifth year than go out and sign a new starter. So, you know, that, but you know, if he stinks again, I don't know if you can afford to pick it up.
No,
you know, basically telling your fans, you're going to come out and lose.
And do you have confidence that he could bounce back and actually have a good year? I don't have that confidence myself.
You know, I really don't, but I've heard multiple national media guys lately that have been on his side and are saying that he's not as bad as he played last year. And, you know, you do wonder, you know, if they give him a running game, because remember, when he had Jordan Howard, he was a successful quarterback.
That's true.
The Bears didn't really have a running threat last year. David Montgomery showed flashes, and maybe he'll turn into something, but Tariq Cohen was bad. So, you know, I don't think Trubisky can carry an offense. You know, I mean, like, he's not that Drew Brees, Tom Brady type of I'm on top of the heap, Aaron Rodgers.
No.
You know, he's never going to be that guy. But if you give him a running game, he can be serviceable. The problem is I don't know if this is the right head coach for him, because I'm not sure if Nagy really likes the running game and thinks he can kind of get by with trickery.
Yeah, that's what he's been known for. Do you think that Cohen regressed because Montgomery was in there instead of Howard?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because Cohen, you know, he used to be a nice kind of surprise change of pace. And, you know, you knew Jordan Howard was the running threat. So when Cohen came in, you played the pass a little more. Well, with Howard gone, you knew Cohen was going to get carries. So you weren't just, well, I'm just going to play the pass on this guy. So, you know, it doesn't work for him that way. He needs, you know, that legitimate, I can run for 100 yards a game running back. And we'll have to see if Montgomery is, you know, is given that opportunity. But, you know, they're going to need to upgrade the offensive line somehow. And with Kyle Long retiring, that's going to hurt. Because, you know, Montgomery didn't even average 4 yards a carry last year.
No. He was, 3.6, 3.7, and he did, as you said, though, showed flashes on occasion that he could be a decent runner for the Bears.
Yeah. You know, it definitely, you know, there were little bits and pieces you saw out of him that were like, oh, hey, okay, look at that. There, you know, there looked like there was something there. Again, you know, my question is Matt Nagy the guy to develop this? I don't know if I'm sold there.
Well, he claims he's going to bounce back and knows what he did wrong as a coach last season, but we've heard these promises before.
You know, honestly, the one thing that's going to help him is the schedule should be a little easier.
Yeah.
You know, because instead of playing first place, we'll play the third place schedule. So that will help right off the bat. But, you know, I still don't know, you know, I mean, what, they went 8-8. I don't know if they go 10-6 or 9-7. You know, it's they're still just kind of a 500 team to me. You know, we'll have to see what they do in free agency in the draft.
Well, that'll be interesting. And do you know off the top how many yards that Howard wound up with last season?
I can actually get that relatively quickly. I know he had some injuries and didn't play
right.
A full
yeah.
season. So let me hunt down his numbers here. He only played in 10 games, but he ended up with 525 yards and averaged 4.4 yards a carry. He did score 6 touchdowns, though.
Yeah, but that's pretty low in terms of when he did play. It's not many yards per game average.
No, but, you know, he was in that system. You know, remember, the Eagles use multiple running backs. They're very similar to the Bears. You know, their coaches come off the same coaching tree. And, you know, he did, you know, he missed 6 games. So, you know, if you give him a 6-game total, you add 300 more yards to it, he's basically right where Montgomery is.
Yeah.
Except instead of being leading rusher, he's the second leading rusher.
Yeah, I'm
so,
wondering if he's healthy. If he's 100% healthy for next season, will it be in line to get close to 1,000 yards under the Philadelphia system?
You know, I doubt it because of the Philadelphia system. You know, they just don't really produce those kind of guys. So, you know, like, I don't think, you know, I know they went out and got Jay Ajayi. Was it 2018 they did that? And, you know, he didn't even, you know, I know he got banged up a little bit, but he didn't even get, you know, 1,000 yards with them. That may have been, I got to keep hunting here. It may have been 2017 that he was their number one running back. But, yeah, you know, they, yeah, you know, you go over and, you know, you see these names and you look at these guys who were big time number one running backs with their teams, you know, and they get to Philadelphia. Remember, they went out and acquired DeMarco Murray after he led the NFL in rushing, and he did squat as an Eagle because of the system we run.
Yeah. I do think that Howard, though, if he's healthier for the full season, can probably score maybe 10 touchdowns for them.
Oh, yeah. He, if they want to give him the ball in those situations, he could do more. You know, if team, you know, but again, you know, they have another one of those coaches who's the smartest guy in the room. So they end up throwing the ball down there a lot, you know, instead of just trying to pound it in with, you know, your big power back.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's geared to do that kind of pounding and short yards, TD situations when you need 2 yards for a touchdown, 3 yards for a touchdown,
right.
You give the ball to him. But of course he has to stay healthy and no trick plays, no passes in that situation.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, I don't even know, is he signed for another year, or is he a free agent? I didn't even really it looks like he's actually on the free agent market. He's an unrestricted free agent, so we'll have to see where and, you know, if he lands somewhere. But, you know, he's only 25, so I can't see him not getting a job.
Yeah, if healthy, I think he'll sign a deal somewhere, not Philadelphia, with another team.
So, yeah, because there aren't any, with the exception of Melvin Gordon, there aren't any, like, giant names. Oh, well, Derrick Henry is out here. I'm sure he's going to get a big money offer. But, you know, those look like they're the two top running backs on the board. You know, no, you know, there's really nobody else out there who's going to, you know, blow you away name value-wise, so... You know, there's no reason Howard can't find a landing spot.
If he does find a landing spot, do you think he'll get more than a 2-year deal?
You know, I think it depends which team he ends up with. You know, if there's a team out there that, you know, would be willing to commit to him as that, you know, power type of back, you know, that goal line type of back, you know, maybe they sign him for, you know, multiple years, but, you know, that's just going to kind of depend. I mean, you do wonder if, you know, the Titans lose somebody like Derrick Henry, if they can't sign him, my guess is they'll franchise tag him and they won't have that problem.
Right.
But you do wonder if Howard could be, you know, sort of a replacement for him, you know, a big power type guy. I know he doesn't have Henry's breakaway speed, but, you know, he could still be that mix with Deion Lewis as the, you know, the power guy and the change of pace guy.
Yeah, I think
so. You know,
I think Howard's in a good spot. I think he's in a good spot to get a decent, lucrative multi-year deal for some good bucks.
Yeah.
As you point out, he's only 25. So if he's healthy, I think he'll get a nice deal with some team.
Yeah, it looks like he's the youngest free agent running back out here. There are a couple. I know there's a 24-year-old Brian Hill, but he hasn't shown much with Atlanta. There are a couple other 25-year-olds. So, yeah, he's right there as, you know, a really young guy. I mean, you know, and the running backs go quick. So, you know, if you're going to get him, you know, you get him for, you know, see if he takes 2 years and see if he can produce. And, you know, then you got to kind of move on. As weird as it sounds, at 27 or 28, you're almost too old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got to stay healthy. That's the important thing.
Yeah. You know, there aren't many Frank Gores out there now in the running back game, you know, 37-year-old guys who can produce. So.
Yeah, that is a rarity.
Yeah. You know, it just doesn't happen. But I did see something quite humorous before we got the podcast started. I was watching one of the talking head shows on the Mickey Mouse Network show that I like. I kind of forgot which one it is. They all kind of blur together. And, you know, being that it's the Mickey Mouse Network, LeBron James has to be MVP And the funniest thing that I thought they did was they went to show highlights of some of the great plays he made this year, and two out of the first three highlights they showed, he traveled going to the basket. Now, of course, it's the NBA, so they didn't call it, but I just thought it was funny that these were the two highlights they picked to start off their package, was him traveling. I was just like, oh, my God, who edited this and didn't realize it? So, I got a big chuckle out of that. But, is LeBron your MVP?
Politically, yes. I think that that league is gearing to make him the MVP. Whether or not he deserves it, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, well, he's having a good year. He's not having as good a year as the kid from Milwaukee, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I still think I butchered that, but hey,
That's close, though.
So, yeah, I get it. He's a Laker, and it's going to be geared that way. We're going to be very Laker-centric with the passing of Kobe. There's just, there's nothing anybody's going to be able to do about it. At least he's having a good season, so there won't be too much crying when he wins it.
No,
I'm sure there'll
no.
still be a little, and I'll probably be one of them doing it, but,
By the way, you mentioned about this traveling. I assume that the announcers who did the coverage of this, the highlight reel, didn't say anything about him traveling in those places.
You don't point those things out. That would be, they'd lose their jobs at, the Mickey Mouse Network if they pointed out that, LeBron actually traveled. So
some of these calls are so blatant that they're so obvious that there's travel involved, and they're not called most of the time. It's mind-boggling.
Well, that's part of my negativity towards the NBA is just the fact that, call it. That's why it's here. Get rid of the rule. But, you see it all the time. They just had it last week. Literally watched a guy take four steps going into dunk. And it was like, and the ref was running with him and didn't see it.
No call.
And I would love to know if there's a comeuppance for these refs when they, when they blow these things or how they work this out. But that's kind of what the game has turned into. It's dunks and three-pointers, and it bores the hell out of me. I just can't stay with it for more than a few minutes.
No, and the last few seasons, of course, most of the games I watch are local teams, but the basketball seems like it's regressed from previous years. It's not the same, as you pointed out. Too many three-point shots and traveling calls not called, and helter-skelter form of basketball without any crisp, precise passing. And it's hard to watch for a full game. 100% correct when you said that.
Yeah, it's fun to see a guy, get up there and dunk, or I saw Zion Williamson last night, got the ball in the post, made a nice move on the guy, and then threw down a huge slam dunk. That was nice because he played the game. Well, then the next play down the floor, LeBron ran down just over half court and heaved up a three pointer that went in. Literally took like a 30 or 35 footer for no reason, other than he's LeBron and he can do it. Luckily for him, it went in. So, they made like a huge deal out of that. But, if I'm his coach, that's a stupid play. There was 30 seconds left on the clock. I guess he could say he was trying to get 2-for-1, but he still could have got in closer. He could have drove to the hoop with the time he had. Obviously he made it so nobody cares, but in reality, that was a dumb play.
But no one's going to mention it because it was LeBron.
Right. Yeah, you know, nobody cares. And again, he made it, so it, you know, that immediately goes out the window. You know, you can't say anything unless he misses.
And if he missed, would the announcer say something? That wasn't a smart decision by LeBron.
You know,
they wouldn't say that, would they?
They probably would have called a foul, even though there was nobody standing around him.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the foul calls that are really ridiculous, aren't they? At the, some can be blatant fouls and no call, and others are just ticky-tack fouls, and they call them.
Yeah. but, we do have a little bit of a slate in the NBA tonight. We have three games that are going to get going as soon as you and I get done here. We got Utah at Cleveland, Houston at New York, and Portland at Orlando. There's a 6:30 start for Memphis at Atlanta and Milwaukee at Miami. If you have NBA TV, you can watch that Milwaukee at a Miami game, which should be pretty good. Locally here, we got the Bulls starting at 7 o'clock, Stu. They're at home against Dallas, and then the evening wraps up with Indiana at San Antonio at 7:30. So are you going to tune into any of the Bulls game, or is that going to cut into your Raw viewing with a 7 o'clock start?
No, I probably will look at the game on occasion. I could watch it 2 or 3 minutes at a time, and then towards the end of the game, if they have a chance to win, if they're 8 or 9 points up with a few minutes left, I'll say, well, maybe they'll squeeze out their 21st victory of the season. Otherwise, though, I will turn on something more exciting to watch, like, as you mentioned, Raw. Or I could put on a G-Network and watch some of the hardest racing, too.
There you go. I'll turn it on from time to time because I have Luka Doncic in my FanDuel lineup tonight, so I'm going to want to know how he's doing. But, other than that, I don't really have much of a reason to watch the game. But, I have been kind of interested, and I haven't seen them play yet. But, you know, the Rockets have went to what I find humorous is the journalists are calling it little ball, but the Rockets themselves are calling it micro ball. They don't start anybody over 6'5". And what I noticed, though, from seeing highlights from their game is it seems like Russell Westbrook tries to drive, and if he can't get the drive to the hoop, the other four guys are standing out at the three-point line, and he's just got to find the open man. But it's been working for him, so I don't know. Do you see this continuing to be successful into the playoffs, though, when the game kind of slows down and it's a little different?
I think they're going to have to revise their strategy when the playoff time comes along because, as we both know, it's a completely different game then. So I don't think the strategy is going to work in the playoffs.
Well, sadly, it's pretty much all they got because I believe the only center on their roster – I saw they have two centers on their roster, and one of them is Tyson Chandler. So, I don't know. But they are here. They've won seven in a row and nine of their last 11 since going to this system. Now, playing the Knicks tonight, you would think they're gonna get a win, but it is a road trip, so you you never really know. And they're coming off a tough game in Boston.
I think they will beat New York tonight. I will go on record as predicting a victory for Houston.
Even after the whooping the Knicks gave the Bulls the other night?
Well, Bulls only lost by 10. What was it 125, 115?
To the Knicks.
To the Knicks. Well, you know how good the Knicks are.
Yes, they are. I believe they're below the Bulls in the standings, actually. So
that wasn't the first time this has happened this season, by the way. I think the Knicks have the Bulls' number. As bad as they are, they seem to be able to handle the Bulls pretty well.
That's possible. Yeah, the Knicks are 18-42. So, you're looking at the Bulls who are 20-40.
Yeah, that's a 300% for the Knicks. It's not too shabby. Now, I must ask you a question. We're talking about the Bulls right now or the Knicks. Say the Bulls are losing by 15 points to the Knicks with 28 seconds left in the game. Does the coach call a timeout?
Yes.
Of course.
Just to prove a point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the players are too fond of that strategy, and I still can't figure out why he's doing it.
Well, hey, they're only six. The Bulls are only 6.5 games out of the eighth spot in the East. So, you know, you've got to keep them, you know, motivated and up to date just in case.
Yeah, well, there aren't all that many games left now. So I think the Bulls can kiss the playoff hopes goodbye again for this season.
21, right? They play 82. They play 81. No, they play 82. So there's 22 games left. So they could make that up if they get hot and win 10, 15 in a row.
Yeah, it's a theory. Let's put it this way: it's theoretically possible. Is it going to happen? Well, I would make a prediction saying that it's not going to happen. And no playoffs in Chicago this year for both the Bulls and the Blackhawks, although the Blackhawks still have a better shot at making it than the Bulls.
Well, you know, the Bulls are playing, you know, they're playing a 37-24 Dallas Maverick team tonight. So, you know, maybe they got a shot.
Well, of course, it's home cooking, right? They are playing at home tonight.
You know, that's possible. Well, you know, we'll have to see how that works out. I'm not expecting them to win, but hey, you know, you never know. It's the NBA; weird things could happen, we'll have to see.
Quite unlikely scenario, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, sadly, you could say that about every Bulls game, couldn't you?
I suppose so.
You know. Just one of those things.
Well, maybe Las Vegas will come up with a new kind of a bet saying that will or won't the coach call a timeout when the Bulls are down by 20 with 15 seconds left, and there'll probably be people betting on it.
Oh yeah, you know, with some of the stuff people bet on, nothing surprises me at all with what they. You know, with what they show or what they do, it's just kind of like, really? So, you know, there were bets on the 40-yard dash times at the NFL Combine. You know, like what you, if players would want run over or under a certain number. So
probably 5 seconds or whatever it is. Didn't one player run a 5.2 and everybody was excited about that one because he's not known for his running speed.
Yeah, because he was like 6.5 and 3.40. So,
right, so
that's frightening.
When you think about it, that's a pretty amazing time for someone for his size. I saw that, and that opened up some eyes.
You know, that, and, you know, some of these other guys, you know, are running 4.2s and 4.3s, and it's like, really? So.
Yeah, so they're actually betting on that now, too.
Yeah, you could have bet on that over the weekend, on what you know, and I don't know if you could have gotten every player. I don't know how they boarded it out. But, yeah, you could have made bets on if you thought, you know, given a random number, like if you had that offensive lineman, you know, you could have bet on, you know, does he run over 4, you know, over 5.3 or under. If you'd have picked the under, obviously you win. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I could have bet on the Cody wrestling match that was over in Chicago over the weekend. What do you, he would win or lose?
I obviously that would be a little difficult. I know, God, I can't remember how many years ago, there was a sports book in England that was taking money on the Royal Rumble. But that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know if there's still, you know, obviously with a predetermined outcome, you know, there could be guys who could really cash in if they found out you were taking money on it. So.
Yeah, that's amazing that they would actually have that as a legitimate sports bet.
Yeah. So, but I did wonder, I know you haven't been watching a ton of it, but if you watch the XFL, they really play up the betting lines. And like at the start of, I got, I was one of the Saturday games, They even brought up which team was favorite, and they had the over-under numbers, you know, for betting on the game. And then one of the analysts actually goes through and picks, you know, how they're going to do with the spread, the over-under, and then some of the individual stats that you can get on players, you know, kind of like I make you do some, from time to time, you know, is this guy going to get over or under, how many yards will be passing or rushing? You can actually bet on that, and they've really, really kind of played up that angle compared to all the other sports. I was like, wow. So that seems to be the route they're going to go, and we'll have to see if it kind of works out for them.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's even a legal thing they can do that. I guess it can be, but that's kind of promoting sports betting really in a big way when they start going through these various lines like that in a nationally televised game.
Yeah, but, you know, now they have entire shows dedicated to this. You know, the Mickey Mouse Network has an hour-long show called The Daily Wager that talks about all the bets you can make. You know, FS1 has one called Lock It In, where they have three guys, you know, who gamble for a living, give you advice on who to pick and, you know, what lines to go with and what bets they're making. So it's really, you know, now that, you know, it's kind of starting to spread out, you know, it's becoming, you know, kind of commonplace to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a multi-billion dollar industry and can only get bigger.
Yeah. So, yeah. 'Cause now, you know, they're kind of spreading things out now where it's going to be legal in just about every state, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so how will that curtail the illegal gambling? If everything is legal now.
Oh, probably
now.
Not. Well, there's, yeah,
it won't,
you know, but
it won't stop it.
You know. You know. It's always fun to bet illegally from time to time, right?
That's true. Now, is Houston the number one favorite to win the XFL championship this season?
Boy, you got to think so. I mean, they're the only undefeated team left. So, you know, and they've looked the best out of, you know, anybody. So
it was quite a
competitive
game, wasn't it, between Houston and Dallas?
Yeah.
It didn't
start out like that. You know, it looked like a blowout,
but it didn't turn out that way.
Know.
And I was surprised, though. It was a feisty game. It was surprisingly feisty, and there's a lot of skirmishes between players. And
yeah.
And that kind of surprised me. And I'm wondering if maybe some of these guys think they're good enough to make it in the NFL, and they don't want to be shown up in a nationally televised game. And it led to some rough stuff, some rough action.
So, yeah, well, you know, and you think, you know, I mean, you know, the way some of these guys have played, I think we'll see some of them on Sundays next year. You know, I don't know how much they'll affect the game, but, I mean, you've got to think with the way the quarterback position has evolved in the NFL now that, you know, somebody's going to want to take a look at this. It's PJ Walker, I believe, from Houston, who really kind of fits that dual option run threat, you know, type of quarterback. I mean, I don't know if maybe he could ever be a starter, but, you know, I mean, he kind of looks like a smaller version of Lamar Jackson. He could be the perfect backup for Baltimore, in case something ever happened to Jackson, he could come in and fill in.
Yeah, it'll be really nice to see if a couple of these guys actually make it to the NFL after the XFL season is over with. And it did happen a couple of times before, but very, very rare when that league was originally in play a number of years ago. I think maybe one or two guys got a shot in the NFL.
Yeah, well, you know, and I definitely think the one guy – you know, I don't want to say guarantee, but I'm pretty sure is going to get a look. And I don't know if you saw him play, but there's that 6'8 tight end on, I believe it's Dallas. What is it, Donald Farnham? I think it is. And, you know, he's made some really nice plays, and, you know, just at that size, and he's young. So I think, you know, somebody, you know, especially, you know, again, with kind of tight ends the way they are, I would be shocked if, you know, somebody doesn't look at this kid and go, oh, yeah, we've got to at least take a look at this guy. So.
Well, what kind, did he get any kind of a look-see in the NFL?
Yeah, he, you know, he came out of a small school, and he didn't get much of a look. And I'm trying to see if I can find his name here so I can at least get the you know, get everything right. But I'm all over the place here, so. You know, because I want to say he's on Dallas, but I'm drawing a blank if that's the right team or not. So I'm not quite sure if that's who he's actually with. So I want to double check. But yeah, I mean, you know, he had a really long touchdown run last week, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, he showed some. You know, he showed good speed, being able to outrun everybody, and especially at that size. You know, it was just kind of like, wow, you know, this guy's a, you know, a big dude who's kind of, you know, kind of able to get away from these guys.
Well, you know, the first thing I'm thinking of is that if he doesn't make it, then in the NFL, and all this notoriety he's getting on XFL, maybe Vince will take a look at him.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Donald Parham is his name, and I don't know if he was a, you know, where or how he got a look at in the NFL. I know he went to a really small school. He went to Stetson College. Yeah, it says he was signed by the Detroit Lions after going undrafted. And he didn't make the team. The Redskins took a look at him and didn't keep him originally, but then put him on their practice squad. So he spent a few weeks on the Redskins practice squad, but never got to play in an NFL game. So,
well, he got a couple of look-sees at least, and maybe now they'll take another look at this guy after he's shown what he can do. And he had
and here I was wrong on his age. He's all at 22. So, you know, you got to figure it at 6'8 and just 22 years old, there's probably an NFL team that's going to want to bring you in and take a look at you in camp. So.
Yeah. Do you think that the NFL teams are reluctant to draft guys that come from a small college?
You know, I think a lot depends, but we'll have to cover that one thing in the back. I'm not sure if we're going to be here tomorrow. We're getting out of town tomorrow, but we may not be back until Wednesday. But tomorrow, maybe I'll be by to see what we can work out if I can find somebody. You know, the other thing, so while we're going, postmedia.com, check out what's going on over there. Hit the link, follow it on over to Facebook page, and like it while you're there. Remember that Twitter feed, though, which is at SportsTime Radio. Of course, feel free to hunt me down on Twitter as well. I'm at SportsTime, BURTTIME, is how you find me on Twitter. I always thank you for listening live. I did that. I really appreciate it. But remember, the podcast is available